We talked a bit about nervous system, and I want to get into a little bit of like what is actually happening during those moments.
Well, so on a nervous system level, what happens, and I mean, you want, do we want to go great, really deep into the science? Because I will geek out.
Science.
No, any big words, not big words, any complex words you use, please define them for anyone who may not know.
Well, I have to tell you, like when I started to understand the neuroscience of trauma, both in the it helped me understand the context of what I experienced when I was being traumatized and then everything that kind of came after that. But then certainly in present day, when my system would become activated, why I would experience, you know, the things that I was experiencing. So, you know, what we want to first really understand is that trauma is an injury to the brain and to the nervous system. It's the same as if like you have a broken leg. And it's really, I think, very helpful to frame trauma as an injury, because then we start to think about, well, how do we heal the injury? Right? If you broke your leg, you wouldn't walk around for the rest of your life with like, well, darn, I guess I have a broken leg, right? Like, no, like you would, there are steps to resolve that. And so same with trauma. And what is happening neurologically is that we have experiences that set off the, I love neurons. The definition of neurons is excitable. They're excitable energy. So they get all excited and they buzz around and they bump into each other and we create neuronal pathways. So these pathways hold the data and the associations from events that we experience. So the first time you go to the ocean, a neuronal pathway gets created and it holds the data, the smells, the sights, the sounds, the textures, the emotions, the feelings that were present. And then 20 years later, you can be sitting on your couch watching a show and the ocean will come on and you'll be like, oh yeah, I remember that time when I was a kid and I was there, and you can even maybe smell, you'll have like sensory experiences. You might notice a sense of peacefulness. So that's really lovely when it's a day at the beach, but when we're talking about trauma, that's not so easy to work with, right? So we hold data that gets stored and associated with trauma and danger. So sights and sounds and smells and language and sensations. And so we can be out walking in our world and, you know, maybe we, a scent comes around and it's similar. It doesn't even have to be exactly the same. It's just close enough. And so the brain is constantly interpreting the incoming data. And the thalamus is an amazing part of the brain. It's like the bouncer of your brain. It decides, is this incoming data good, bad, safe, dangerous? But when we've experienced trauma over an extended period of time, thalamus becomes kind of like a little scaredy cat. So like all the data, danger, 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 danger. So if any of you experience a feeling of like hypervigilance, highly anxious all the time, it has to do with this thalamus amygdala connection. So the thalamus processes this data, sends the information to the amygdala, and the amygdala is like your oh shit center of your brain, at least a part of the amygdala. Did you know the amygdala also helps with arousal and pleasure? I bet you didn't. It's amazing. Yeah, like it's so wild that it's both our fear center and our pleasure center. Okay, whoever made the brain, I see you, like sense of humor. Okay, great. But so the amygdala gets triggered, it gets set into its, you know, danger, danger mode. And that's what sets off our freeze, fight, flight response. Meantime, the data is also being sent from the thalamus to the prefrontal cortex. So this is the part of the brain that does all of our executive functioning and higher order data processing. It's where we get focus and motivation from. And the medial prefrontal cortex has a pathway back to the amygdala that can basically override activation. Now, all of you have experienced this process. Like you're walking along and something falls right next to you. What do you immediately do?
Jump.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you just jump. And that is the thalamus amygdala, that very quick response. Like we're not thinking about, should I jump, right? We just do it. But then we look and we go, oh, it's just a stick. that's that slower process of the thalamus to the medial prefrontal cortex back to the amygdala. So when we are in environments where we are feeling a sense of danger, whether perceived or real, because the brain doesn't actually distinguish, but there is a perceived threat, that amygdala sets off and it starts flooding our system. And when that's happening, it turns down different parts of the brain. So it'll turn down the prefrontal cortex, which is why all of a sudden I can't problem solve anything. Like, I know I should probably do something in this moment to support myself, but I can't think about what it would be. It's because the amygdala is overriding your problem solving center. The amygdala also overrides your speech center. This is why we often have a hard time speaking when we're activated. So I want to say something in this moment, but I really can't. I want to ask for help in this moment, but I can't even access my speech. It also fusses with the hippocampus, which is what grounds us in our time and space. So the most severe experience of that is a flashback, when you kind of lose all sense of time and space and it feels like you've dropped back in to something. Mm-hmm. That's different from a memory. Memory is just memory. Mm-hmm. But a flashback is when you have that kind of loss of sense of time and space. So you're at the party, you're drinking your cocktail, you're having a good time. And then, you know, this person rolls up and all of a sudden that whole process starts. It's not something that you can control. You can't stop the initial activation. And so then all of a sudden you want to turn to your friend to ask for help, but you can't speak, right? You start to have all these physical sensations. Your heart starts to beat, your palms get sweaty, your face gets flushed. And then you start to like, oh my gosh, I can't think straight. What's going on? And so when we learn to take care of our nervous system, we're less easily triggered, right? And we can use adaptive skills to help us come out of moments of activation. And that's really like the heart and soul of the work I do is really about teaching that. Like, what would you do in that moment? If you can't speak, if you're not thinking straight, what are the other things that you can do to help bring your nervous system back online so that you can handle what's happening in the moment? Did I go too deep, y'all? Just tell me. No. Like, where I'll just is it helpful? Are we going in the right direction with that? Yeah.
I'm right there.
I think it actually is good because it helps us kind of loop back around to the initial conversation about being prepared for an event.
Yeah.
Because those are times in order to keep your nervous system in balance, you do have to have people there that understand what you're going through. So if that person does walk by you, you do have to take bathroom breaks or breaks, you know, step outside for a minute and, you know, to help you stay regulated. Maybe for me, I'm going to the bathroom or I'm going to step outside. Now, during my mom's party, it was so cold because her birthday is during the cold season. So I had my coat and everything, but I'm like, I'm not going outside. So, you know, you can step into the bathroom or into a place. Actually, I think it was my son-in-law who found a chair and placed it in a whole different quiet space so that when I needed to take a break, I could just go sit in a chair and have a quiet place. So you do have to learn, because your system will become overwhelmed, because you will be triggered. Let's just be real about it. It's going to happen. Nobody's ever going to, I'm not going to say what nobody will ever do, but in my experience, you can't outgrow trauma. You can't heal from it, right? You can learn how to manage it, but I don't think it'll ever be a day where you'll wake up and be like, oh, that never happened to me. I mean, people can suppress it, but if you're just trying to learn how to manage it, then you do have to have ways where you can take breaks, where you can just mentally shut down. I have a traumatic brain injury. So I do have points where my system is overstimulated. Even when I'm in the grocery store, sometimes I know I have about 20 minutes because after that, I'm going to get overstimulated and my body will literally shut down, like can't walk, can't talk, all types of things. So the nervous system, what Rachel is saying is real. You will shut down. You will become nonverbal. You will not be able to respond and think and do all of those things. So it's important that you do have a system set up and that you're clear. You're not going crazy, right? You know, it's not all those weird things. It is your nervous system, right? And it is going to take control and it will reduce you to fight or flight. And you don't want to be at an event and be reduced to fight or flight when you feel like, I just got to get out of here because you're overly anxious, but it will happen. So the best way to do with my TBI, if I become over anxious, they teach us a technique called palming, where I have so much, like I'm in a dark room right now. You can't tell, right? But I'm literally, there are no lights on in this room. The only thing is open, in which my house is up under a lot of trees, but the only thing is open is my blinds are kind of slightly open. So it looks like it's lit in here, but it's not. There's not even a light on. But that's the skill that I picked up on from being in TBI groups that I participate in, because I know I have been traumatized. I actually have a brain injury. But what Rachel is saying too, and Rachel, I hope you don't mind me I'm just calling your name. But what Rachel has brought to the forefront too is that trauma does injure the brain. So you will need tools to help you manage, and I'm using my hands. But anyway, you will need tools to help you manage. And the reason why is because on a daily basis, you want to have the best experience possible. Mm-hmm. I've been injured. I have a brain injury. I have to use the tools to make me have the best experience I can possible in life right now. So if that's taking time to do a face palm, which is normally 3 minutes, 60 seconds to 3 minutes, whatever it is, that's what I have to do, right? You just have to do it. And the more I do it, and the more I had to live with this, the more I develop my skills to help me maximize my day. And if you don't develop skills to help you maximize your day, then you'll fall back and you'll have these horrible, horrible times when you have to reset, because you have your system is overwhelmed. And when your system is overwhelmed, you can force yourself to have a very hard reset. And I learned, like, hey, your nervous system is being triggered. So now when I feel that overwhelming sensation, I know, stop. Whatever I'm doing, just stop. Mm-hmm. Take some time. Don't overwhelm your system. Don't overdo it. I can be washing the dishes. And if I'm washing the dishes and my nerves are starting, and that anxiety and everything is coming up, just stop. And it's the same way when you're at an event. You're going to be around this person. You're going to be in this environment. You're going to be in the room. You're going to be in that space. They are too. Have your friends there for support, and then take your breaks or whatever tools you have. Maybe it's a little song you sing in your head that you practice, and now you know, hey, I'm a bigger person now. I'm a bigger person now. I can handle this. I'm a bigger person now. Wait, like whatever it is. Look, I can handle it. I'm a bigger person now. Whatever it is, have it there for you, because what Rachel is saying and what she just broke down that I live with every day on another level, your system will be flooded with it's almost like toxins, and you don't want yourself to break down like that. So, you know, you have to be conscious of the fact that this is a real thing that's happening. Your brain, the all of the neurons being affected, that is a real thing. And sometimes victims don't realize how victimized they have been. You've been victimized to the point where your system is literally responding in real time. Yeah. So you need to be able to have the skill set and the tools that you need to manage all of that. Because all we're saying is that when you have those tools in place, you bring yourself back into balance. Mm-hmm. And we want you to be able to handle situations and bring yourself back into balance. That's, you know, that's my line of thought.
I love that. Yeah. Yes.
Fantastic. Fantastic. So I'm so sorry, Rachel, did you want to say anything before we move into our raffle?
It's raffle time. Oh my god, why would I delay? I mean, sure, I might say something, but no, let's raffle.
Yes.
Look, whatever Rachel's raffling, I want a 28 day, whatever that is. Like, I'm like, what is Rachel doing? Send me one.
I will give you free access, Kathleen. No. I'm more than happy to happily add you to the program. Yes.
But did you raise? She raised it. Me too.
Yes. I am more than happy.
And it's something I can share with my group where we're talking about preventing child sexual abuse. It sounds like a powerful resource, and I'm just listening to all the information you're sharing today, and I'm like, this is the person that people need to be connected to, people who do understand how to help people navigate this journey and is sympathetic to, you know, what victims go through. Mm-hmm. You know, and some people are sympathetic, but they're not empowering. So I feel good that you're a person, yeah, you're sympathetic and you're empathetic, but you're also empowering people to be able to manage their lives. And sometimes people don't realize how important that is, because you're still living after the trauma. So you want to live, you know, you want to live your life as best as possible. So that's what makes me look at you like, hey, this is a person to connect with, because of the amount of information you're sharing and what you're sharing, not just you're a victim, but hey, you can be empowered and you are entitled to life after trauma. So look, give me a 28 day.
I will. Thank you. You're making me feel that's really funny.
I love you, Rachel. Thank you
for that. Oh God, yes. I'm so grateful to have both of you on, and I feel that was a good pre-testimonial right there. Like, okay, so while we are quantifying our entries, I want each of us to share a bit more about what our actual offering is. We're going to have three winners today. And the first one we're going to draw is the free coaching session with yours truly. So basically, I'm offering an opportunity to sit down and work on actually looking at what's there and what comes up for you, providing resources to make sure that you're empowered and moving through these spaces together so that you know that you're safe, you're held, there's compassion there, and you're not alone. You know, these are things that people step through every single day. And one of the big challenges is we think that we're alone. No one's going to understand this, and that there aren't going to be benefits from sharing. So we can come up with an action plan, an accountability process that actually moves you towards what you need, including wonderful information and access to the resources of people who've been on the show, such as these two wonderful people. Go ahead, Kathleen, can you tell us a bit more about your book? And that'll be our second drawing. Go ahead.
Awesome. So the name of my book is Hurt People, Help People. I know we hear a lot about hurt people, but hurt people are persons like myself who was harmed. My duty, my passion is to help people. And so I wrote the book, Hurt People, Help People, and I will be offering that book to the individual whose name is chosen or drawn. And it's a book that's centered on prevention, right, and awareness to help parents also be able to share with their children how harm happens, who causes harm, where harm is caused. A lot of us have this, we believe that, hey, that person is a teacher, that person is a doctor, that person is this or whatever their title is, but title does not equal safety. There is no safety in a title whatsoever. So a lot of people don't understand that. A lot of people have in their mind that when something like this happens, a child is kidnapped and they're on this long journey and then they're molested. No, molestation takes place in less than a minute, less than 30 seconds. It takes that long to do something that is traumatizing to your child. So it removes all of this, you know, far thinking that we have that it's some stranger, it's some bum or it's some crazy looking person. No, it's your family member, because over 88% of those who are victimized by someone close to the family or a family member. So it removes all of these myths that we have about child sexual abuse, you know, thinking it's some long drawn out story. No, it's happening every day in every place by people who look and talk just like me and you, who are professionals, who hold degrees, millionaires, the lady next door, grandparents, everybody is out here. Unfortunately, they're out here hurting our children. So that's what the book is all about, to clear some of that up. But also in the book is an app, and the app is all about reporting. The worst thing in the world that I hear is not only that a child is being molested, but that it's been taking place for the last 5 years of their life. Like, if I really want us to be able to empower our children to report as soon as something happens. So the app, the link to the app is in the book. You can also, it also has cards that come in the book. They don't know, they no longer come in the book because I have the app now, but you can order the physical cards if you would like. And they really just break down and allow your children to tell what is happening. And the app allows them to do the same thing. They can give a description. They can give a name. They can tell the location. They can screenshot it. They can send it to you, whatever they want to do using the app. And so that is the book that I will be giving away to one of you individuals who joined us today. And thank you for joining us. And I'm Kathleen, the author of Hurt People, Help People.
Beautiful. Rachel, tell us about this boot camp.
First, I just have to say that is so genius, Kathleen. And I'm getting that book and I'm sharing it as my book of the month in the newsletter. And thank you for doing that work.
Wow.
Prevention and awareness work is something I'm just starting to dip my toe into, and it's deep and it's challenging. And I just like an app. Are you kidding me? Oh my gosh, it's just so genius. So just cheers and kudos to you for all the effort and work you've put into developing that. Badass. Love it. So yes, the 28-day boot camp for the brain, this program I really developed through the lens of like, these are the tools that I want. If somebody has nothing else, you have to have this part. So we're going to look at the 5 foundations for healing the nervous system. It's a self-study program. You'll receive everything on a day-to-day basis via email. And it's really going to support you in understanding more of the neuroscience of trauma. We touched on it a bit today, but we'll go even deeper in the program. You'll get lots of exercises. You're all probably noticing my work is always about the what do we do about it. Yes, theory, less information. Yes, reflection. But then what are we actually going to do to change things? So you're going to get practical, doable tools and strategies that are going to teach you how to retrain your brain, how to heal the nervous system. And ultimately, you know, what we've been talking about today, being able to feel in charge of your life again. So you'll have lifetime access to the materials. So you can either go at the pace as set forth, or you can slow it down, do it once at the pace and then come back. But all in all, it's really gonna give you just a really great foundation for nervous system regulation and healing.
Oh, so grateful to both of y'all. Beautiful, beautiful. I love it. This makes me so happy. I'm super grateful for everyone who contributed and entered into the raffle. This is such a beautiful, beautiful thing. And I'm really grateful that you participated today. So we have a bit more in our resource conversation. This actually came up while you were sharing, Kathleen, is the conversation around kids and reporting. And I know when we were talking, we were also talking about, you know, what do you do with your children in these situations, taking them, having them be around people who've caused harm. And so I'd love to hear a bit more from each of you about what that actually, what resources and what that looks like.
For me, parents need to, and I'm not criticizing parents for anything, I'm just speaking on awareness. Parents need to understand how to make their children aware of sexual predators first. Because that, when we tell them, hey, don't let anybody touch you on your vagina or your cookie pot or what all these little things that we say, that's good. But in the mind of a child, most children would probably associate that with a complete stranger, right? They're in general, they're gonna be thinking about some weirdo doing something weird to them. They're not gonna be thinking about their papa or their uncle or, you know, Coach Terry, you know, because he's close to the family. So I think a lot of, which is why I created the app and the cards, because we really want the children to understand it could be anybody. And that's super weird to kids. It's just super, you mean my teacher would touch me on my, you know, it's just weird. As parents, we don't realize that because we don't think like children. We try to think for children and we miss the part of how children think. So, you know, first I would say, I'm not just saying this so you can get my book, but either get my book or get a book like mine, because you really need to think about how children think about other people. And then you got to think about too, when it comes to molestation and rape, things like that with children, most of the time there's an established relationship. So the child always carries a certain amount of guilt because they feel like they should have known better. They feel like they're going to disappoint you and all of those things. The best thing for me, in my opinion, and based on my experience and how difficult it was for me to tell my mom, I wish I had something in my hand, and now we're in a digital space. So a way for me to just tell somebody, this is what happened, because they're always going to feel weird about it. They may not know what that feeling is, but it would be nice to just be able to shoot somebody a message and say, hey, mom or dad or whoever, this happened, and I just want to share it with you. So one of the things I encourage in my book is to always have three people in every place. So I call that child locations of activities. When they go to school, they need three people they can tell. Principal, teacher, whoever that's going to be. When they go to family functions, they need three people they can tell. Not just you, but a cousin, an aunt, somebody. They need three different people. And why do I say three different people? Because sometimes you can tell one person and they don't do jack, but tell you to keep your mouth closed, or, hey, don't tell nobody else this. We're going to work it out between ourselves. So they need three people in every place that they're in. So that's the tip I would give, like at least have three people in every place that your children attends, whether that's church, the library, school, the places that your child are frequently at. Have at least three people that they can text message or tell if anything were to happen. Get them ready for the holiday season, because that's when they're going to see people who are acting their best, having the most fun, and will still take you in the bedroom and do something inappropriate. So get them prepared to let them know this could happen even with your so-called best friend's mom. Like, really let them know if anybody, anytime, and make it easy for them to tell. Text messaging is so easy. And I think everybody has like a Chromebook so they can send you an email. I teach kindergartners, and kindergartners have Chromebooks. They know how to email. So open it up to technology and allow them to have a resource to let you know.
That's so good. I had never really thought about the lens of using technology as the way to support a child in communicating what's happening for them. Thank you for that. That's super great. What I would add to what's already been offered is that I think there are kind of two conversations happening for me in my head. There's the bigger overall, how do you as a parent or a caregiver or a guardian become empowered yourself to have these conversations, to teach your child. And so like Kathleen's book, I offer a training called The Empowered Parent that will come up again in April. It'll be after the holidays, obviously, but that's a place where we really talk about prevention and awareness and response to a child's disclosure or discovery. And so sometimes we need to just be more shored up ourselves, so that we're doing the ever ongoing conversation that needs to be happening with our children so that they are empowered. Speaking very specifically to, you know, okay, you're at the event, you're at a party, you know, all abuse and trauma happens in the context of it's not visible and it's not interruptible. And so thinking about the space that you're going to be in, and are there any places where you just like child, you just don't go there? Right? You stay here where you're visible, where actions, behaviors are interruptible. And that's everything from, you know, the uncle who's like just forcing a hug right? That counts to something, you know, severe. So try to keep that. It's really about minimizing one-to-one interactions ultimately. And so, you know, trying to give some thought to that and then being a little bit on patrol, you know, like when I was a nanny for 8 years, I would sometimes go to the holiday events or whatever. And most of the times I was right with the kids because that was my job. But, you know, sometimes I would have a moment where I got to go get some food or whatever, but, and the kids were kind of off playing together, but I literally just had a watch and just every, you know, 20 minutes walking by. For sure, within the frame of 20 minutes, something can happen. But what you're kind of signaling to the people around you is not on my watch. Like, I'm here, I'm paying attention. You know, you're not going to get away with much here. So that is just another strategy that I've used in situations. And I 100% want to just echo and reinforce what Kathleen is saying. When we have these conversations with our children, as uncomfortable as it is, being sure to say, if anyone touches you in a way that makes you feel icky or uncomfortable or scared, whether that's me, your father, your brother, your sister, your aunt, your uncle, like literally give them the list. Because if you just say people, yeah, exactly, their minds kind of go to this outward place. But when you put yourself in the mix, as well as these other people, then it lands a little better. And what's also true is you just need to have that conversation on a regular repeat basis, because a child will hear it one time and we think, okay, they got it. But actually it could be years later and you tell them the same message and they go, oh wait, you mean it could be somebody I know? Like, that's actually happened with my co-presenter, Toby Stark, and her child for our program, The Empowered Parent. So yeah, don't be afraid, you know, to name those things and bring it up, because it's just so important. And try to avoid language that is good touch, bad touch. That's not helpful languaging, because sexual trauma sometimes feels good. And so then that's confusing for the child. Do I talk about this? I don't know. It didn't feel bad. It felt weird or scary, but it didn't feel... Yeah. So just using that very explicit language of icky, uncomfortable, scary, whatever, is just better language to use.
Thank you both. That was really, really good framing. As you were sharing, to echo you, Kathleen, when you were sharing about the way that a child's brain thinks. Like, it's such a different reality coming from that kid's perspective versus an adult, especially when you don't have the templates and the assumptions of stereotypes about how this goes. And I recall when I was a kid thinking that all the adults all knew each other and they were all on the same page about everything that was going on because they were grown.
Yeah, right.
And that was how my kid brain thought. As an adult, I'm like, I'll talk to people and they're like, wait, that? Wait, huh? And I'm like, you didn't know? So it's very fascinating. It's very fascinating. And then to your point, Rachel, of like icky, scary, like, you know, things like that where kids can relate to it, because good touch and bad place and good place and bad place are things that are going out the door. They're vague, they're hard to understand and communicate, and they provide more stigma. So the way that you're setting that up and talking about it and even saying, you know, like, even if it's me, you know, like, so that the kid has agency to say, hey, this didn't work, whatever it was, whatever it is. So I think those are hugely helpful. Thank you both. And then we touched a bit on aftercare. And I think, you know, do you have anything else that you want to say for people who are in these spaces and just to wrap up their experience?
I definitely would say for aftercare, be prepared. Be prepared, whatever your thing is, like, and don't feel bad that you were triggered or whatever the experience was, and now you need to kind of get all that icky off of you. Like, you need to get that funk off of you. So, you know, be prepared to do something great for yourself. I used to have this thing where wherever I wanted to lift myself up before I developed this crazy allergy that I have, I would go to Merv's Candy and get me a Merv's Candy apple. And that was my thing, just to lift me up. I'm like, I don't care. Give me that $8 candy apple, $12, whatever they cost. I'm like, listen, I just conquered a day. I deserve this Merck's caramel candy apple with pecans on it. And I would get it. So whatever your thing is, whether it's a lavender bath, whether it's listening to music, like whatever it takes to just bring you back down to your full balance of yourself, you know, then that's what you need, whether it's a Starbucks caramel macchiato. My daughter was asking me this morning, do you like Starbucks? I said, the only thing I get is the caramel macchiato. She was like, okay. So just whatever it needs to be for you. Maybe you need to come home and scream, right? And just get it off of you, whatever it is. Just be like, you know what? Cuss three times, just whatever whatever it is, that's what you need to do. Maybe you need to go for a drive. All I'm saying is that be prepared to do whatever it takes for you to bring yourself back in harmony with the world that you desire to live in, right? You're not living in their world. You are living in your world that you have the power to create and that you are entitled to. So be prepared to take whatever action it is afterwards to bring you back into balance.
Yeah. Ditto, ditto, ditto. The only strategy that I would add to that is what we know is often happening when we're in these kinds of environments is there are some levels of suppression. So you might want to punch that person in the face. They might say something and you might want to be like, oh, hell no, but you don't say it out loud because you're in this environment. You're trying to maybe manage the social situation. So there might be things that you wish you could have said or things that you wish you could have done while you were there that you suppressed. And so I think for me, a really important practice is when I get back into my safe space, I give myself permission to do that. So that's everything from like literally acting that out, like, ooh, I wish I could have punched him in the face, right? Like I will punch a pillow, right? And release that energy so that it doesn't get stored in my body. For me, it's often language. So I will do what's called a spew letter and I'll just spew it out, right? Sometimes I say it out loud, but usually writing for me is more effective. And so I'll just go through and like, I wish I could have said this. I wish I could have said that. I wanted to say this. And in that way, like it's kind of like getting it said after the fact. So it doesn't get stuck in my system and in my body. I love that as a process. And I'm adding caramel apples to my self-care routine. I forgot how good those were until you said, I was like, oh yeah, those are actually really great. They're sticky. You feel like a kid. Like, it's just great. Yeah. I love it.
Oh God. Yes. Yes. I am a sweets reward too. Like, you know, the whole, all brownies is what popped into my head. I love chocolate. And I love the framing. I love the framing of like, I'm giving myself a reward. I'm giving myself a treat. I just came through something intense. You know, I did it. I made it. It happened. I was in everything I needed to be. I did everything that I could do. And now I deserve to treat myself to something special.
Mm-hmm. You just made me think that I think one thing that I used to fall into is after something that was challenging, my brain likes to go back and rehearse it all again. I should have said that, I should have done that differently. And there can be some learning there, but most of the time we only want to look at the places where we think that we fell short. And I think that does us such a disservice. Mm-hmm. Look at the things that you want to celebrate. Yeah, like your hell yes, you know? And put your focus on that. How did I do that better? Even if I got triggered, look at that. I didn't stay triggered as long as I did last time, or I really self-soothed. I really took care of myself, whatever it is, but look for your wins in those moments and don't focus on the places where you think that you fell short or you got tripped up. You know, give yourself a lot of grace, a lot of compassion. And I'm hearing a lot of chocolate.
I'm glad you pointed that out, Rachel, because we don't know we're winners. We were traumatized, but we're still winners. Mm-hmm. And we don't focus on the fact that we are winners. And every time we go to an event or whatever happens and we come out, and you know, I remember sometimes where I would end up in the fetal position for weeks, for days, just horrible. but now I'm able to celebrate more wins. And that's important to me. So I encourage everybody, just what Rachel just said, don't focus on, you know, how angry you were in that moment and how you wanted to choke them. And just focus on, I'm good. I am good. Okay. I just was in that person's presence. I came home. I'm good. You won. Okay. And just kind of focus in on that. And then, like Rachel is saying, over time, if you know, something about being rewarded, and I teach kindergartners, something about being rewarded, boy, just lights you up, makes you feel good, and makes you feel like you're Superwoman or Superman. So listen, get used to rewarding yourself for healing, for overcoming, for moving past your trauma. Yes, we all know it is real, but guess what? We still are entitled to life. So let's live our best life.
Amen. Amen. Okay. So we're going to wrap up in just a second. I wanted to quickly double back to one thing that was shared in our pre-conversation around self-harm. Could we just take a quick second to address that? Because I don't want to leave it out for anyone who's watching.
Oh, Rachel.
So self-harm through the lens of...
Oh, sorry. I'll be specific.
I was like, it's a big category.
It is. So actually, I think it was you, Kathleen, we were talking about going home for the holidays and like doing things to yourself to be in that space. So what came up that stood out was like smoking and drinking.
Maladaptive coping strategies, like falling back into that.
So I know for me, you know, on your healing journey, as you're healing, you want to make sure you are healing and not just trading off, right? Like I'm healing, but I need, you know, some some illicit drug or something illegal, or I'm going to smoke 15 packs of cigarettes a day. Just make sure you're not, when you're going through these situations, say like you got to be present for the holidays or for Christmas or whatever it is, don't allow yourself mentally to break down to the point where now you're harming yourself. It's like, oh yeah, I'm here, but I'm triggered. So now you just, you know, you're turning back the drinks, you know, it's one drink and you're turning back another one. And by the time you leave, you're drunk, you're out of your mind. You know, if you practice what we've been talking about today, having a whole game plan, finding people who can support you, because we don't want you to have that hard reset. If you crash and burn, and then you got to spend a week just building yourself back up so you can do minimum things. And I shared this once before on a podcast, but I would, you know, be triggered. And then I would end up, I only had enough energy to go to work and come back home. I was barely eating because I spent all that time in the fetal position, just, you know, not even able to take care. I can get up and shower. Sometimes I wouldn't even shower. I would just get up and brush my teeth because I knew I had to go to work. Don't self-harm. And when I was younger, I used to practice self-harm. I would burn myself. I would cut myself. I didn't even know what I was doing. I just used to do it because I was traumatized. I didn't even know there was such a thing as self-harm, but it is a real thing because it's a response to the pain that you're experiencing. And I don't know why we do it, because it's like, you're not going to stop pain with pain, but that's just how the mind works in a weird way. And so you have to unpack all of that, but also be conscious of the fact of what you're doing to yourself. That's not going to help you. It's not. And I'm not criticizing you or anything, because people deal with things in different ways. All I'm saying is that I would prefer, if I had a preference, right, that you learn how to manage in a way that would help you be successful and that will bring you back into balance, and where you're not having to have hard resets, because those hard resets make it hard on you. So, glad you brought that up. Just take care of yourself. And when I say take care of yourself, I can't tell you enough, forget those people. Do what you need to do. If you need to leave early, If you need to take several breaks, whatever you do, don't harm yourself. And harming yourself means you stay too long. So now you feel like in order for you to make it through the night, you got to take three drinks. That's harming yourself. So just be conscious of the fact and do whatever you have to do to stay in a healthy place.
Thank you. Beautiful, beautiful. Okay, well, thank you everybody out there for joining us today. This is the ItCast Real Talk on Sex, our community outreach podcast that increases diversity in conversations on health and sexuality. Through this work, we are creating a world where all people feel loved, honored, and respected. We do have some upcoming events. The Global Sexual Health and Freedom Summit is going to be back February 4th and 5th, 2023. Please go get your tickets now. You can register at sexhealthsummit.com. Also, get one-on-one coaching with me by filling out the Calendly in my link tree to go ahead and book a connection session where we can discover what will empower you. Ask us anything you want to hear on the show. Thank you for all the comments today, all the people who entered the raffle, everyone who has been with us on this journey. It really means a lot. You can get access to our bonus content. We're about to hop over to the after chat and just talk a little bit about how the show went. So you can see that on our Patreon, patreon.com/Nika Sherelle. Learn more about our work at theitcast.com. Subscribe to this YouTube channel and share this work with your community. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Amazing. Thank you, Nika, for hosting and leading.
Thank you, Nika.